Good morning.
Good morning, Sensei.
There's an old saying that says, don't speak unless you can improve upon silence. So when you give these kind of talks, or when I give these kind of talks, that voice is always in the back of my head. And so this talk, which I wrote during the week, until about an hour ago, I had decided, I'm not going to do that today. Let's just sit in silence. But for some unknown reason, I changed my mind. So here goes. I wanted to talk about compassion. And when I was thinking about this, I realized that it's really impossible to talk about compassion without talking about wisdom. They're really inseparable. And in Zen we say, wisdom and compassion come together like our hands in Gassho. And the right hand is wisdom, and the left hand is compassion. And so we put them together. And so then the question becomes, so what is wisdom? What does the word mean, particularly in our practice? And wisdom is the realization, the experience of our true nature. And this realization is sometimes referred to as insight or kensho or enlightenment. And I've talked about this many times before. It's when all the barriers, all the thoughts, projections, and the stories that we use to define reality drop away. So when we have that experience, or even as we approach that experience, even as we sit every day, we come closer and closer to realizing wisdom. And our wisdom, that wisdom, is inherently in each one of us. And this practice is to reveal our own true wisdom, our ability to see our reality and see each other as not being separate. That's wisdom. But it's an experience. It's not a philosophy or simply words that I'm saying. So the practice is like peeling an onion. You know, you just keep taking one part, the next part, and the next part. And as we do that, we come closer and closer to having a sense, a physical sense, a spiritual sense of what wisdom is. So Roshi Kennedy, who is my teacher, once told a story about a woman who came to Daisan during a retreat. And he asked her how her meditation was going. And she said to him, I'm beginning to see that things are just my stories. Started to peel away that onion. I'm beginning to realize that things are just my stories. And then a few days later, at the same retreat, she returned to Daisan, and Roshi asked her how it was going. And she replied, now I see everything is just my story. Everything is just my story. And in Zen, we call dropping our stories the experience of emptiness, right? We empty all the stories out. And when we drop our stories, all our sense of separation vanishes, and we realize our inherent oneness. But again, I want to repeat, it's not a light switch. It's a process. It's a peeling away over time. Gradually, we realize that we are living our lives with a greater sense of wisdom, with a greater sense of connection, again, to the world, to the universe, and to each other. This is a passage from Rumi. The minute I heard my first love story, I started looking for you, not knowing how blind that was. Lovers don't finally meet somewhere. They're in each other all along. And that's wisdom. It's discovery that you and I, every one of us, is in each other all along. That us and the universe is in each other all along. And in a sense, the closer we get to that experience, the closer we get to experience love for each other and love for the universe. So what is compassion? And compassion is the actualization of this wisdom. How do we act out and live in a world in a compassionate way? How do we treat each other in a compassionate way? Right? It's actualization of this sense of oneness. And right behind me, right there, is She's the Bodhisattva of compassion, who hears the cries of the world. And this is a deep empathy for another's suffering. And a deep empathy is beyond the stories that we make up that feel us separate. I've used this analogy before, but it comes from Bernie Glassman, who was the first teacher that I studied with. And he uses his two hands to describe wisdom and compassion. So this hand and this hand, right, they're connected by the same body. It's really one. We just make the names. This is left hand, this is the right hand. If I burn my left hand, my right hand doesn't look over there and say, oh my goodness, that's terrible, right? That's not compassion. That's feeling pity or feeling bad for somebody. Compassion is I burn my left hand and instantly, immediately, I put out the fire. I tend to the other hand. That's actualizing compassion. The Dalai Lama said, love and compassion are necessities, not luxuries, and that without them, humanity cannot exist. How many of you are familiar with the poet Gary Snyder? Okay. And Gary Snyder was a beat poet, late 50s, early 60s, and he was associated with Jack Kerouac and a bunch of other beat poets. And he was actually a poet, but back then even, he was a true Buddhist. I mean, he sat regularly. He went to retreats. So he had an intimate understanding of the teaching. And he talked about the relationship of wisdom to compassion. And in 1968, he wrote a piece called Buddhism and the Coming Revolution. Now, you have to remember that was we were getting into the Vietnam War. There was a lot of social upheaval. There was a lot of cultural upheaval. All of a sudden, hair got longer, dress changed. So there was this whole big thing that was happening. And so in this piece, which was written during the Vietnam War, and people were more committed to social activism, it was also at the same time, as I mentioned, that activists were beginning to practice Eastern religions and at the same time becoming pacifists. And many retreated from social involvement and weren't doing anything, sitting on the cushion while all this upheaval was going on around them. And Gary Snyder says, they were just sitting around getting enlightened. Institutional Buddhism has been conspicuously ready to accept or ignore the inequalities and tyrannies of whatever political system it found itself under. Thousands of monks sit in monasteries, but don't set one foot in the world to use the wisdom, to manifest the wisdom in compassion. And he says, this can be the death of Buddhism, because it is death to any meaningful function of compassion. Wisdom without compassion feels no pain. And he went on to say, the mercy of the West has been social revolution. The mercy of the East has been individual insight. And underlined, we need both. Sitting in a monastery, getting enlightened, is only half the work. What good is it? What good do the monks, thousands of monks, China and Japan, Korea, Tibet, what good is it if they just stay there and they don't act in compassion for the rest of the world? But if we act, and we act without compassion, we can do a lot of harm. It's action that can be blind action, action without wisdom. And this kind of action is what we say in Zen lacks skillful means. If we act from a place of wisdom, if we act from a place where we empty our minds with all preconditions, with all expectations, with all ideas about how things are supposed to work, then we are simply present to the situation. And when we are present, when we are empty ourselves of all these preconceptions and theories and personal ideas, all of that aside, we can, what we call, bear witness. We can be present to the situation with a clear mind. And in that place, we can act with compassion. And it would be more clearly acting. You know, I've mentioned before the Zen Peacemaker Order and Bernie Glassman's work in various ways. And one of the things that he does is he led street retreats. And on the street retreat, instead of sitting in the monastery, we actually went out on the street to live out whatever insight we have attained. So the experience of that adds to our wisdom. It's direct experience. And particularly since, as you know from other talks, we tend to avoid things that are difficult. We walk down the street and there's somebody talking to themselves sitting on the sidewalk. It's too uncomfortable to engage somebody like that. So these retreats teach us to do the opposite, to work with that fear, and to engage people. Now, that doesn't mean that wisdom doesn't apply, right? If the person seems to be dangerous, well, of course, you wouldn't engage them. But many times, the person being dangerous is a story that we create in our mind, and it justifies walking by. So an example of wisdom and compassion, if I encounter somebody who's asking me for money, and I just give them $5 in their hat and walk on, that's not wisdom and compassion, because I don't know what's that $5 going to go to. If they're a drug addict, then I'm helping them enact their drug addiction. So what we learn on the street is, if it feels safe enough, engage that person, talk to that person. And a lot of times, if we do it with an empty mind, without preconception, we can hear what's needed in that particular situation. And that's wisdom. Dropped all our preconceptions, and we listen. We bear witness to that particular situation. So that's the wisdom part. And the other part is compassion, but it's not blind compassion. The compassion comes when we ask, are you hungry? And the person says, yes. And so we say, okay, sit here. I'm going to go get you something to eat. So there's wisdom followed by compassion, the two working together in a particular situation to best serve that particular person. It's important, I think, to point out that doing good is different than actualizing compassion. You know, doing good is only doing good. And most of the time, doing good is really serving ourselves because it makes us feel good. We walk away and say, oh, that was, you know, I was a good person. I was a good guy today. But that's doing good, which isn't the same as compassion. Compassion is selfless. There's no motive. It's just arising directly, dealing with the situation that's arising before us. So doing good arises always from a sense of self. We're in the center of what's going on. It's when the doer and the receiver are one. Right? There's no sense of separation. Well, that's actualizing wisdom. That's being compassionate. And compassion is a selfless act. It's not about feeling good or feeling you had a worthwhile day because you helped somebody. So this Zen practice is really a gift. And it's a gift because it opens our hearts. And we open our heart. A truly open heart brings together wisdom and compassion. And it's the sense of intimacy that we have. So just to repeat myself, wisdom and compassion are inseparable. They are experienced because we have a sense of no separation. One last example would be when our infant child cries. We don't think, well, watch what a good father I'm going to be. I'm going to go in and tend to this baby and hold him in my arms and rock. That's not compassion. And most of us don't experience taking care of a baby that way, right? It's just hold that baby, rock that baby. So, that's it. I hope I've improved upon silence.